Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a summary in English with slight rearrangement of the talk regarding Ramadan given by Mufti Taqi Usmani. There is hardly a Muslim who is not aware of the importance and the special blessings of the month of Ramadan. This is a special month of Allah, and tremendous blessings and mercies of Allah are directed towards us during this month. Every Muslim does know two important ibadat of this month, which is fasting during the day and the Taraweeh prayers during the night. But actually, this month requires a lot more from us than just these two ibadat, although no doubt these are the most important ibadat associated with this month. To understand the real significance of Ramadan, we need to look at and understand the meaning of ibadah itself and the purpose of man's creation. For Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the jinn and the human beings except for my ibadah. There were people who questioned why human beings had to be created while angels were already busy in the acts of worship or ibadah. It's important for us to understand the difference. There is no doubt that angels are always busy in the acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their creation is different than the creation of human beings. They have been created such as they, by design, they are unable to do anything except worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not capable of committing any sins. On the other hand, human beings were created with the ability to commit wrong and the ability to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet, when they overcome these desires and inclinations and they still obey Allah, it is at that time when they are committing an ibadah that angels are not capable of doing. We know that the highest level among human beings is that of the prophets. But even all the prophets had their needs and desires, the human needs and desires. They had hunger and thirst. They didn't need to eat food and take care of other things. Yet, with all of our needs and desires, when we, by our own choice, choose the right path, then we are committing the ibadah that human beings were created for. We also know that in another place in the Quran, Allah has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has bought from the believers their souls and their properties, for in exchange for that, they will have paradise. So for the believers, all of our souls and our properties have already been sold. If we keep these two things in mind, one, that the purpose of our creation was worship of Allah or ibadah, and secondly, that we have been already sold, our souls and our property possessions have been sold to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in exchange for Jannah, then we can see that we should not have been even given any permission to do anything other than the act of ibadah. If Allah had commanded us to remain busy throughout our life in those direct acts of ibadah, that would have been fair, keeping in mind this particular exchange. Yet, Allah has bought us and then returned our souls back to us. He gave us permission to indulge in this life He gave us permission to spend time taking care of our own needs, but only required us to do certain things so that the ghafla or forgetfulness that can be created through that indulgence in fulfilling our material and physical needs, that ghafla can be overcome and removed from time to time. One of those great ahkam that have been given to us for this particular purpose deal with Ramadan. The literal meaning of Ramadan is something that burns out completely. Some ulama say that this name was given to this month because the very first Ramadan came during a very harsh summer, and it was because of the hot weather obtaining at that time that the name was given. But the majority of the ulama say that this name has been given because this is a month during which our sins and our forgetfulness are actually destroyed and burnt out. So we have the accumulated sins and mistakes and forgetfulness of 11 months, and then we have this 12th month that can be used to remove all of that, to clean ourselves once again, to overhaul ourselves spiritually. This is the month of our spiritual overhaul. This is the month for developing taqwa. How does Ramadan develop taqwa? Some scholars say that by denying and controlling our desires as is commanded by the ahkam of Ramadan, fasting, that purpose is achieved. But our great mentor, Hakim al-Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say that actually the act of fasting itself is a great act of taqwa. It is a great training for taqwa in itself. Because during Ramadan, when a person is fasting, no matter how hungry he becomes or how thirsty he becomes, a person even given all the opportunities to drink a little bit of water to quench his thirst will never do that. What keeps a person who is in total privacy and nobody is watching him, what keeps him from quenching his thirst? It is nothing but the fear of Allah, and that is the essence of taqwa. In fact, if we look at the ahkam of Ramadan, we may also realize it's a great training in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the ahkam. Throughout the day, we are required not to eat or drink anything at all. Yet, immediately when the time for iftar comes, we are encouraged to immediately break our fast. Ta'jeel-e iftar, or hastening to do the iftar or breaking the fast when the time has come, has been encouraged, and unnecessarily delaying it is makruh. Just think about it. If the sun sets on a particular day at say 5 o'clock in a certain location, and a person breaks his fast at 4:59, just a minute before the appointed time, he will be committing a great sin. If he did it on purpose, then he will have to fast for 60 days continuously to pay for his sin. Just 1 minute earlier, and he has to pay for that through 60 consecutive fasts. What is the issue here? The issue is that it is not that 1 minute makes such a big difference in the physical effect of fasting, but only that he did something that he was commanded not to do. It was disobedience that caused him so much punishment. Similarly, it is encouraged and it is sunnah not only to do suhoor or take our meals in the early morning hours, but also to delay it to be as close to the time of imsak or when the suhoor ends as possible. It is sunnah to do that. In other words, we are encouraged not to prolong our fast beyond the recommended time. If somebody did that and took his suhoor very early in the morning or broke his fast much later than the sunset time, they will actually be taking away from the spiritual value and the sawab of their fast. So we can see that it is not just the deprivation from food that is the purpose of fasting, but it is a practice in obedience. You have to eat when you are commanded to eat or allowed to eat. And you must not eat or drink when you are prohibited from doing it. It is not in the act of eating or not eating, or drinking or not drinking, that there is any intrinsic virtue. The real virtue is solely in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We eat when we were commanded, when we stop eating when we are commanded, when we resume eating again when we are commanded. So throughout the day, during the fasting itself, what we are really practicing is the practice of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we understand all of this, then we can also begin to realize then the fasting and Taraweeh are not the all that Ramadan brings to us. Ramadan requires more than these most important ibadat associated with Ramadan. In some parts of the Muslim world today, they have started a practice called Istiqbal Ramadan. What they do is, it started in Egypt and Syria and now has spread to some other Muslim countries also. They hold a special meeting just before Ramadan to welcome Ramadan. The idea is good, but sometimes through carelessness, things that start with good intentions also turn into bid'ahs, and in some cases, unfortunately, that has happened. However, the real preparation for Ramadan, the real act of welcoming the Ramadan would be to prepare in advance our schedule and plan ahead of Ramadan so that we can devote most of our time during Ramadan for the direct acts of ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not just consider the fasting and Taraweeh sufficient for this month. Rather, we should see what in our normal routine activities are things that we can either take care of them before Ramadan, or we can postpone them till after the end of Ramadan, so that most of the time during Ramadan is available for acts of ibadah. This will be the real preparation for Ramadan. Then when Ramadan arrives, we should use all of the time that we have made so available to us in nawafil, in extra prayers, in extra tilawah of Quran, and in extra zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get up for suhoor. We can get up a little earlier and make it a practice throughout Ramadan to offer the nafil prayers for tahajjud. We should spend as much time in tilawa, reciting of the Quran in Arabic as possible. As we know, Ramadan is the month of Quran, and we should devote special attention to our recitation of Quran during this month. Similarly, we should do zikr as much as possible throughout the waking hours. Whenever we are doing something else, we can also be doing zikr. We can, throughout the day, we can be reciting the third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. We can be saying Salat al-Nabi, or we can be saying Istighfar, or we can be saying other known forms of zikr throughout the day. Then we can offer other nafil prayers as they have been recommended, in addition to the Taraweeh prayer itself. But in addition to all these things, there's one other aspect that we normally are not aware of or careful about, and that is the aspect of staying away from sins. We should not only concentrate on doing the positive throughout this month, we must also make a conscious effort to stay away from sins, especially during this month. Just like in treatment, both medicine and prevention are important, so is the case here. If a person is fasting, and also spending a lot of his time in the nafil prayers and zikr and tilawa, but he also is committing other sins as usual. The sins of eyes and the ears and the tongue, then he would not derive much benefit from all of his exercises in those acts of ibadah. This will be the case of the person who, during a hot summer day, turned on the air conditioner to get some cool, yet at the same time opened all the windows and doors, so all the cold air will actually leave the room through those open windows and doors, and the room will not be losing any temperature. He will not be benefiting from the turning on of the air conditioner. Similarly, if a person commits all sorts of ibadah, but at the same time is continuously committing sins also, is not careful about them, he will be losing all the benefit that he gained through the ibadah, through the sins that he continues to commit. It is for this reason that it is extremely important that we make it a conscious effort that during this month at least, we will not commit any sins. That will guard our tongue, that will guard our eyes, that will guard our ears, will not see anything that we are not supposed to be looking at, will not hear anything that we are not supposed to be hearing, listening to. We will not utter anything that we are not supposed to be saying. One of the great fitnas our time is the fitna of using our eyes for seeing things that we should not be seeing. And a great source of that is television itself, at least during this month. We should declare this month as a television-free month. So we turn off the television for the entire month and do not turn it on at all. And similarly, we should make efforts to stay away from backbiting, which is a sin of the tongue, and listening to other haram things, as music, or other things that we should not be listening to. A second important thing that we should be doing during this month is to prepare, make sure that whatever we consume is only from halal sources. The consumption of halal and staying away from haram. This means not only that eating halal food, but also consuming income which has been obtained from halal sources. Which means no income from sources like interest or bribery or whatever, or prohibited businesses. For all of that is haram. Because it will be a strange thing that a person eats at suhoor from haram income and breaks his fast with haram, from food which is obtained from haram sources, and in between he is fasting. There are people for whom the basic source of their income is halal, but they do have some mixing of haram income with their essentially halal income, like income from interest. For them it will be easier to make sure that at least during this month they are careful not to mix that haram income at all with their halal income. There are others whose basic source of income itself is not halal. For example, Allah forbid, their employment is with a financial institution that runs on the basis of interest. For them, they should also try to make sure that at least during this month, they find some alternate source of income. And if they cannot find an alternate employment or source of income for at least 1 month, then as a last resort, they can borrow money or the hasana from somebody for the expenses of this month. At least that will show that they are concerned about their income being halal or not halal. And if they have the concern, then Allah will make it easy for them to stay away from haram income and live solely with halal resources during after the Ramadan also. We should also remember that actually staying away from sins has been made easy during this month. As other ahadith tell us that the shayateen are chained during this month. Which means those desires for committing sins that are a result of the satanic inspiration, they are reduced. So therefore, it is easier for us to stay away from sin, as it is most important for us to do so. Another thing that I want to point out is that during this month, we should also make it a special point to stay away from getting angry, to control our anger. Anger is bad all the time, but this month is again very special. This has been called the month of Muwasat, of being nice and well-wishers and good to our fellow beings. So we should be extra careful in being nice and polite to others around us. And if there is any urge or desire or situation which requires us to lose temper, we should also remember this thing and take extra care during this month to avoid those tendencies. If we do these things, if we plan ahead of the month so that we can devote most of our hours during this month for direct acts of ibadah, not only fast and offer the Rabi prayers, but offer as much nafil prayer as possible, offer all of our prayers with jama'ah in the masjid, we read the Quran as much as possible, we do zikr as much as possible, we stay away from all the sins and make conscious efforts to stay away from them, If we do all of this, then inshallah we'll see the true blessings of Ramadan, and the true benefits of this month will be coming to us. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a very great month and very blessed month for all the Muslims. وَأَخُرُ الدَّوَانَ عَلِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ